It's Monday, March 16th. I'm Oscar Ramirez from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is your daily coronavirus update. COVID-19, the coronavirus, continues to disrupt everyday life in the U.S. and around the world. In the U.S., there are now over 3,100 cases and over 60 deaths. New travel restrictions are also being put in place for people coming from the U.K. and Ireland, in addition to those already in place for Europe. This is leading to massive lines at airports that are trying to screen citizens as they return. We also learned that President Trump has tested negative for the virus as the administration continues to weigh out options for keeping the economy going while we all practice social distancing. Ginger Gibson, political reporter for Reuters, joins us to talk about the politics of coronavirus. Thanks for joining us, Ginger.
Thanks for having me.
Coronavirus, COVID-19 continues to disrupt life in the United States and across the world. As of now, and these numbers are always changing, the United States has over 3,100 cases. I think it's over 60 deaths. But right now, the latest is these travel restrictions. The president just tested negative for the virus after he was getting a lot of questions from reporters. He said, I got tested. It came back negative, so he's safe. But these travel restrictions, we have travel restrictions from Europe, and on Monday, we're adding the UK and Ireland. But what's happening is that these restrictions are not to U.S. citizens, so they can still come back to the United States. And over the weekend, it caused a whole hell of a mess at all of the airports, these 13 airports where they had to come in to get medically screened.
That's right. We have seen the U.S. and the response to the coronavirus sort of rapidly escalate between last week and into this week. Lots of changes, lots of new responses. Life was pretty much moving like normal on Tuesday and Wednesday. And as you said, by Monday, restrictions on people traveling, not just from China that were already in place, but now from Europe and the UK. We saw over the weekend long lines forming, as you mentioned, at these airports where people were coming into the United States and having to be screened, creating a little bit of concern that if there was one person in these crowded lines, they were then transmitting it to all the people around them.
Yeah, we're supposed to be practicing social distancing, but at these airports, it's pretty impossible.
Yeah, cram everybody into a room to try to get them through the screenings. But this is the product of what happens when you try to mass change very quickly rules, screening procedures, and without, at least initially, the staff to do this. So we saw this sort of fallout. President Trump tweeting on Sunday for people to please pardon the delays, I think was his word, asking people to understand that they were doing this to keep people safe. They were trying to catch anyone. We haven't seen any examples yet where they might have caught someone coming in with the virus and what they're going to do about all of the people that were in these lines with them at the same time. But this is really sort of what happens when you try to just rapidly change the way we're handling travel, both internationally and the potential it could seem for some domestic. At the drop of a hat, it's really difficult, if not impossible, we're seeing to make these changes very quickly.
As of right now, and this could change, obviously the numbers are always changing very fast. West Virginia is the only state with no confirmed case of COVID-19 right now. And a lot of the discussion is, should we shut down domestic travel also just to help? I think the Florida governor was urging the president to restrict domestic travel.
And let's be clear, shutting down domestic travel is harder than it is to shut down foreign travel. In the same way, as you pointed out, these are restrictions on foreign nationals, people from other countries traveling to the United States. They have not stopped Americans from returning to the country. We are not like China, where when they put restrictions, domestic travel restrictions in place, not only did they put restrictions, but they tracked people's cell phones and they used cameras, you know, CCTV to see what people were doing. We don't have that ability here in the United States. Shutting down domestic travel is really hard. Also, keep in mind the president can't quarantine people in the United States. He can stop people at the border, but the power to quarantine is invested in state governments. This was done to keep our federal government from becoming too powerful. And so those type of restrictions are going to be very difficult to implement, even in the wake or in the face of a global pandemic.
Let's talk about the next steps for the administration, because all of this shutting down travel and whatnot, social distancing, all of the advice which people should be following, don't go out into these large public gatherings and all that, but it's really going to affect the economy. You know, a lot of people, especially let's talk about the sports industry, right? People that work at the arenas, the cashiers, the janitors, all that, everybody's going to be affected in some way, especially the airline industries and the cruise line industry. We're talking about those. So the next steps for the administration are to figure out who to bail out and how much to help bail them out with.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about here is two different problems. First off, we're going to see, as you mentioned, industries and business facing a lot of economic troubles. We see airlines talking about how they can pare down their flights, how they can pare down their staff and their costs. Cruise ships, which aren't going to be able to depart a cruise for the next month. The food industry, the sports industry, so many industries that depend upon people leaving their houses and going out and giving them money. They won't be able to do that. And when you look at something like the food industry, there's not pent up buying afterwards. You know, if you were going to buy some new clothes and now you're not going to go to the mall, and in 3 weeks they say, okay, now it's time to go to the mall, you'll just go buy those clothes you were going to buy last week. But you're not going to go out and buy all the food you were going to have bought last week. There will be no pent up demand there. And then the second half of this is all the people who work in those jobs. They're not going to get paid to show up and sell hot dogs at a baseball game if there are no baseball games. They're not going to make tips off of the meals if they're waiting tables. And so we see government trying to figure out how to handle both of those things. Can people qualify for unemployment? Is that going to put a strap on the unemployment system? Can people qualify for other benefits if they themselves get sick? And then how do we help the industries? And are there bailouts? Are there tax things to be done to help companies that would might otherwise go out of business, without shoppers or consumers for the next several weeks?
And the House did pass a measure to help with all of this. I think it still has to go through the Senate, but the president has indicated that he supports this. And this has stuff like paid leave for people that can be affected by all of this as well.
That's right. We saw this big negotiated package come out of the House very late on Friday. My understanding is it's going to need some technical tweaks, which happens sometimes with bills that are written and released in the middle of the night. The House is expected to pass those without even voting, without even all their members being there on Monday morning. And then this goes to the Senate. And we did get an indication from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell that the support would be there for this, that they would work to try to move this as quickly as they can. We saw in the House 40 votes against the package, people who felt that it was irresponsible or not being done in the right way. It only takes one senator to slow it down in the Senate. If there's one like-minded senator, we'll see if that happens, but do expect it to move through the Senate pretty quickly. And then Nancy Pelosi said as soon as they got this bill out, they would start negotiating the next one because there were pieces that they hadn't been able to address in this legislation and that they would keep going. So Congress as a whole is trying to move as quickly as Congress can to get some kind of response done.
Finally, let's just talk about the response to this overall. The White House has gone through this evolution. At first, it was like, well, it's not a big deal. It's not here yet. And kind of dragging their feet on this whole thing. Then when the administration realized, okay, this is really going to be something, the WHO obviously declared COVID-19 a worldwide pandemic. Then they changed. They started putting a lot more effort into it. And I think we're getting on pace, even though you hear guys like Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's on the coronavirus task force, saying, hey, we still got a long way to go. You know, we're behind in a lot of different ways. But how has the public been reacting to this? There was a Wall Street Journal, NBC News poll that found that the president's overall ratings haven't changed much, but very much along party lines will depend on how effective you see their what they're doing here.
Yeah, I think that what we're seeing is what we've seen with President Trump all along, which is that what people think about him is pretty set, and there's very little that's going to be done to change their mind. We do see a poll out that showed Democrats think he's doing a terrible job, Republicans think he's doing a great job, but about equal numbers. It doesn't surprise me. I think we sort of hit a perfect storm here in terms of what people think about government. We've got conservatives who generally think the government's role is unsuccessful, that they wouldn't be able to handle something like this, that we need the private sector. And then liberals who might be inclined to think government can help don't think this government or this particularly run government can help. So we are seeing a lot of sort of that response play out and how people are watching this. But when it comes to the president himself, not surprised that fans of the president think he's doing well and people who don't like the president think he's doing badly.
Yeah, 53% say they are very or somewhat worried about someone in their family becoming sick. 47% express less or no concern. So even on that front, people are just kind of right in the middle with this whole thing. But things are going to be changing. We're going to have to adapt and we'll see how it continues to develop. Ginger Gibson, political reporter for Reuters, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This has been your daily coronavirus update. Don't forget that for today's big news stories, you can catch me on the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.